So there was a time, I think if I'm correct, it was about 12 years ago, when life was easy. And some of you are like, what's that mean? That was before IKEA came to Charlotte. And you remember in that moment when you're like, IKEA, and all the furniture, and all of us adults were like, this is going to be amazing. And then you brought that first piece of furniture home. And then you were like, I can do this. And then you opened up the instructions and you thought, I can't do this. I don't even know what that stick guy is telling me what to do. Like, none of this makes sense. Like, all the parts are like, they're barely drawn. Like, I don't even understand. IKEA. You know, there's a lot of blueprints, a lot of manuals in life that have been given to us, right? Man, there are so many. Well, I thought I would go out and get an illustrated sermon this morning. So, some of you are thinking right now, I know Nick just got all excited. He's like, are you going to build that on the stage for everyone? No, no. I know you could, but there's 590 pieces to this thing. There's just no way. You know, I went and got this, and I was like, this is going to be epic. And I started thinking, I don't even know how to get in the box. Like, I think you just rip it. Oh, yeah, I'm just going to rip it. Someone just freaked out because they're like, this is a collectible. You just broke the box. Oh, my gosh. You can tell material things does not, they don't matter to me. Look at all of these pieces. I know you're like, this is Nick. Nick, if you guys all know, is a huge Lego. I want to call him a nerd, but it's a good thing. It's a good thing. It's admirable. Art. Yeah, actually, you know what? I apologize. He's an artist. He's a Lego artist. So anyway, I didn't warn him about this. He knows that I'm about to just take these pieces and throw them everywhere. Some of, maybe I'm not. I don't know. I'm just going by what the Lord is prompting me to do right now. There are so many pieces. Like, it's confusing. I mean, and they, you know what's funny is when you open up a Lego set like this, like, they'll be like, you know, it's that block, and they all have a number or a code, a serial number to them. You can actually go to the Lego website and order the specific piece that you're missing, which is crazy, like that piece. Now, you know that was a safe throw, because you're like, that's behind him, he can find it. But if I was to throw this out towards you right now, we may never see this again. You know, there's so many pieces involved in this, right? Now, the pieces are great, and we obviously know all of them, but that one is right here before me. But you guys know the most important thing is this right here, right? The book. Oh my gosh. This is my first time seeing it. I'm already overwhelmed. I'm sweating to think, oh my gosh. Here's a list of all the pieces, right? Like every single one, as if that's really going to help me that much. But what? 3 times, 4 times, 122, no, more than that. 100 and how many steps? 148 steps. Why didn't they just make it 150? You know what I mean? Like that, the OCD inside of me is like, why isn't it 150? Oh my gosh. Oh my Lord. Oh my gosh. Oh man. I know, it's brutal for all of us, isn't it? It's like, why is he doing this? Do you know what's making all of you cringe? So much. You know, all of you right now are like, why would you do that? Because you're not going to know how to put it together. I know. So why is it that we don't read our Bibles more often? Right? Like, why is it? All of you just freaked out over Legos. Like a Lego. Give me a break, right? Guys, FYI, you can download the whole manual online. That's why Nick wasn't going, no, no. It's totally okay. All right, maybe he was a little bit inside of him, just a little bit. But what is it that we're like so okay with the Bible when it deals with our lives, but yet in the Lego world, we're like, no! Missing pieces, you're like, no, can't have missing pieces. But in our everyday walk, we're like, okay with missing pieces. We cannot have that attitude. You know, Jesus is the blueprint, right? He's like the model. Actually, let's phrase it this way. Jesus is what this is, right? This model, right? Of what it is, like the standard. And then our blueprint is the Word of God, which instructs us on the things we should do, on the things we should say, where we should go, how we should pray. God orchestrates it so perfectly. When we read the Word of God, you go, man, that is so good. That's why the living Word is a living Word. Like, it's alive. That always blows my mind. When I read the Bible, I'm thinking, how did God know? Like, I needed that Word. Like, that Word actually answered what I was thinking, what I was going through. And that's what Jesus says. He's like, when any time that he's about to approach a hard situation, he prays. But not only does he pray, but he also speaks God's word. Like, he is, being that he's the model, he actually is telling us, this is where you go. This is what you do. This is what you say. But knowing that Jesus is the blueprint, like, what does that look like? Well, we know that he's loving, right? We know that he is love, that he is kind. We see that as so many times we overlook the fact that Jesus was a man. And in the sense of he had a blue-collar job, like he did everyday work like the rest of us. Now, I'm not trying to bring Jesus down to us, but I'm trying to raise us up to him. All right, so keep that in mind. But that idea that it's like Jesus, he's Jesus. No, but he was a man, right? And in that, he did everything else that we did as well, okay? He walked, he talked, he used his hands, he built stuff. And for some reason, we kind of throw him out of like just, nah, it's not really the ideal like way I could live. That's too far-fetched. When Jesus is like, no, like when I leave, the Holy Spirit will come, the Holy Spirit will equip you to actually walk in this standard. And that's what Jesus gives us as a beautiful picture. He handled himself in situations that is worth modeling. Man, many of us, have we found ourselves in awkward situations? We're like, why did I do that? Why did I do that? Why did I react like this? Jesus never reacted, right? It seemed like he was always calm. Somehow he was kind of ninja-like because he would disappear. Like there'd be crowds of people surrounding him and somehow he would just get out. People were ready to stone him and he would just disappear. Like, he was silent. He knew when to speak, when not to speak. Like, he walked the walk. He talked the talk. You know, in all of these situations, we as Christians, we've done our best to create a lot of cliche statements. And I'm not trying to belittle some things. Some of us got bracelets on right now, a WWJD. But I think one of the aspects of like WWJD that we've missed out on is actually PLJD, which is pray like Jesus did. Like, that is the beautiful example. It's like, what would Jesus do? He'd pray. Like, really, let's just get rid of WWJD. It's PLJD, because it was always prayer. He prayed in the morning. He prayed at nighttime. He prayed while he was healing somebody. He prayed before he walked on water, and he prayed before he died on the cross. He prayed. Constantly surrounded himself in prayer. Man, that is, all of us need to walk in that example. That surrounding ourselves in that prayer. I mean, he did it publicly, he did it privately, he did it all the time. He did it for long periods of time, he did it for short periods of time. Some of us, I think we belittle our time in prayer. Some of us are like, oh, I don't have enough time. If you just prayed for 10 seconds, that would shift some things in your life. Oh, guys, my wife and I think of myself as a maker, but I've learned very quickly the mistakes that I've made in the past. One of my favorite moments that my wife and I had, I decided I've watched enough Pinterest and YouTube videos that I was like, I can do epoxy. I'll never forget that moment. I'll never forget that moment. Epoxy is the devil liquid, by the way. Just want everybody to know that. If you've seen it, you're like, oh, it's so pretty and it's clear and it's glossy. You can add rainbow colors to it. All right, not happening. It was squeezed from the fruit of the good and evil tree. All right. So I thought, I'll save the church money. And instead of buying expensive desks, I'll make some desks. So that's what I did. I had some nice cherry wood that was blessed to me. And so I made this nice thing. And I thought, I'll do this river rock river thing in the middle, right? And so then I bring Anna out and I go, okay, this is my first time with epoxy. Everything's built. I'm going to pour it in there. I go, are you ready? She's like, sure. Now she's just trusting that I followed the instructions. By the way, there are no instructions. I watch Joe Schmo on YouTube, right? That's what I did. I'm pouring, and all of a sudden, epoxy's gone everywhere, stripping up from the bottom, stripping off to the side. Before you know it, it's too hot in the room, so therefore it's bubbling and smoke's coming out, and she's like, there's gonna be a fire! And I'm like, there's not! We're yelling at each other. I'm like, put the bucket out of here! And then she said, and she yells out, did you pray before we started this? Now, everything in me wanted to lie. I'm not gonna lie. I'm gonna tell you the truth. Everything in me wanted to be like, yeah. So I didn't answer. Because that's what, right? Like, just silence. Just keep acting like you didn't hear that. Even though it was at the volume level of where we were to begin with, which was just yelling at each other. Didn't you pray? I remember vividly her yelling out, you didn't pray? Then I'm done. I go, what do you mean you're done? I said, you can't. This is dripping everywhere. It's bubbling. It's boiling. I don't know what I'm doing. She goes, because you didn't ask the Lord. I was so upset. She was more upset. And she walked away. So, by the way, there was two desks that I was making. Identical desks. So, I decided just to stop. That one, I somehow recovered something. It was something. The next day, I prepared myself. I prayed. I prayed. I promise. So I told Anna, the first thing I said, hey, I need your help with this second desk. I prayed. She said, okay. So we walked out to the garage, and sure enough, there is I've thrown these desks away, by the way. Don't worry, they weren't worth keeping. They could have murdered somebody, I think. They could have died and fallen or something. That was in the beginning of my days of building things. So if you were to look at both tables or both desks, you would see very vividly the one that was prayed for and the one that was not. 100%. You could see the difference of just putting it before the Lord and saying, Lord, you're in control. Show us what to do. And the Lord was speaking to me as we were making the second one. You'll say, well, you learn from your mistakes. There was a lot of mistakes to learn from. All right? I would have missed some, trust me. There was hundreds of mistakes. But the Lord just kept saying, do this, do that. And I remember I was doing this and I was doing that. And it was calm in the room. There was no more yelling. There was no more arguing. Praying is super important. There's so much power that comes. There's so much, like, comfort. There's peace. There's assurance. When you say amen, it is finished. This is it. There is power when we pray. When Jesus was praying, he wasn't just talking to God. He brought heaven down with every word. And we can do the same thing. Prayer shouldn't be our panic button, right? It's our power source. That's our perspective of praying. When you see the word amen, what emotions are being provoked, you should think this is our power source. Like, this is it. Like, this is done. It is finished. God's in control. God's going to take care of it. Like, it is no need to continue to worry, right? Allowing God to speak to you, allowing God to mold you. There is so much value in praying. Guys, prayer is God's invention, right? It's His invention for us to communicate with Him. Why would we not do this on a regular basis? It's through prayer that power from heaven descends to earth, bringing transformation and breakthrough. God holds prayer in a very high esteem. In 1 Thessalonians 5:16, 18, it says, always be joyful, never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Guys, it is God's will. It's what He wants. He wants us to pray. Never stop praying. And so that brings me to my last point this morning. You'll say, what was all the points? The first point, by the way, was that He's the standard, right? Jesus is the standard. My second point is, you don't just say WWJD, you PLJD, you pray like Jesus. My third point this morning is, your words set the weather in the room. Your words set the weather in the room. Faith-filled language will raise the temperature in the room. Doubt-filled language lowers the temperature in the room. I don't know about you guys, but I don't like being cold. Man, I don't care. Some of you are like, I like it when it's cold. You're weird. You live in the wrong state. Move to Alaska, all right? I'm going to tell you right now, I love heat. If it wasn't inappropriate, I'd show you my sunburn on my chest right now. It's as red as a stoplight. But I don't care. I love it. Man, it feels so good inside. But faith-filled language, it raises the temp, man. Oh, it's the best thing you can do. It changes atmospheres, right? What you pray today prepares the climate for what you walk in tomorrow. Hey, let's say it again. What you pray today changes the climate you walk in tomorrow. Guys, I don't know about you, but I want good climate tomorrow. Man, I want to see things from a perspective that only God sees. I want to know what He knows. I want to experience what He experiences. I want to have that knowing that when I walk in the room, it goes, you want this to take place. You want that to take place. Like, not actually having some emotional allergies that the room actually changes me, right? I'm changing the room. I'm bringing in the faith-filled words, right? Like, that's the difference. Parents, we all know that we cannot prepare the road for our children. We prepare our children for the road. We know this, right? So in that same situation, I want my children to be faith-filled children, that they know how to handle the road. Because why? Because they can change the temperature, right? I don't want them to be a thermometer. I want them to be the thermostat, all right? I don't want them to just show you the temperature in the room. I want them to change the temperature in the room. I want them to know what changes the temperature in the room, and that's the power of God's word. That when they speak God's word over their situations, it changes everything. In Mark 11, 24 through 25, it says, I tell you, you can pray for anything, and if you believe that you have received it, it will be yours. But when you're praying, there's a caveat here. But when you are praying, first forgive anyone you are holding a grudge against, so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too. Some of us are holding on to, harboring some things we got to let go of, right? Frustrations, disappointments. Some past hurts and pains. Gotta let go of some of those things, guys. That's no good. What are you saying? Like, what are some of the words that you're saying? Are you full of bitter and rage? It's not worth it. Sometimes we get caught in the web of other people's emotions and their words and their body language. I don't want to be caught in their web. Therefore, I don't want to keep talking about their web, their words, their emotions, their body language. Like, I want to detach myself from that. I want to put myself in the hands of my Heavenly Father, who protects me, who watches over me, who provides for me, who sees fit that I have everything that I need. So I'm not going to be changed and shifted and manipulated and whatever else by this world. But I want to be in the hands of the potter. Man, no better place to be than in the hands of the potter. So what are you saying? What's happening in your life right now? Are you saying words of where you are or where you're going? Man, I want to say words of where I'm going. I don't want to stay stagnant. I don't want to stay in this place of just complacency. Oh man, I want to see what God's doing. I want to be a part of those things. So I'm going to speak words of life, words with vision, words that are so big that I can't do it without Him. What vision and dreams are you talking about in your family right now, in your house? When you and your spouse sit down together, is it exciting or is it filled with words of doubt and worry? We have moments like that, I get it, but you can't stay there. Have you prayed? One of you need to be bold enough to ask that question. Have you prayed?
Yeah.
There you go. We need to be bold. Always keep this in mind, though. If your dream doesn't require God, it doesn't inspire faith. Let me say it again. If your dream doesn't require God, it doesn't inspire faith. Man, God wants to be included. When you include God, talk about some dreams. Talk about some big things. The atmosphere changes. The room changes. Guys, it's time to begin to invite God into the room. You should invite Him into your planning room, into the boardroom, into your bedroom, right? Into the courtroom, the classroom, before you end up in the emergency room. But if you end up in the emergency room, make sure you invite Him into the resuscitation room before it's too late. Guys, it's important that you understand the need to have Him in the room. You bring Him in the room. You know that? That's the beautiful part about God in our relationship. He doesn't provoke Himself onto you. He doesn't push Himself onto you. You invite Him in. When you invite Him into the room, he's not scared of you, by the way. Some of you are like, oh, all these things and all of that, and my insufficiencies or my inabilities or whatever it is, this is where you have got it all wrong. He's not going to be shocked by something you've done or something you've thought. He's not shocked by those things. He's inviting you, and he's saying, hey, invite me. I'm inviting you to invite me. Like, let me be there. Like, let me be a part of your life. Let me encourage you. Let me give you the strength you need, the peace, the joy. Let me help you. I can change these things for you. In Ephesians 3:20 through 21, it says, now all glory to God who is able through His mighty power at work within us. His mighty power. His mighty power. Let me say it again. His mighty power. It's working in us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Infinitely more? Infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to Him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. Amen. And I love how Paul brings it in, the amen. Infinitely more. Amen. Infinitely more. More than we could ever ask or think. Infinitely more. Amen. Many of us in this room, we're not including God in the details. We wait till the emergency room moments. We wait till the moments where it's just, it seems like really too hard. How about let's bring Him in before we ever get there, right? Let's bring Him in on all the details, all the plans. Let's bring Him in. There's a warning, though. There is a warning. He gives us in 2 Chronicles 7:14. It says, then if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and forgive their sins and restore their lands. Some of us, pretty prideful. That moment when you get asked the question, have you prayed? And you want to go, no, because I know what I'm doing. I've watched enough things. I've read enough. I've seen the instruction manuals. I've got this, right? Like, it's that notion in our head that's like, we've got this. You don't have it. Tell me you could put this together without that manual. And I'm pretty sure there's more than 590 pieces involved in us. There's a whole lot more pieces. There's a whole lot of mysterious things out there that we don't know, but yet God knows. And God's saying, invite me in. Like, invite me in. If you just humble yourself and invite me in, I'll change the atmosphere. I'll change the situation. Some of you got to let go of some hard things. Oh, let go of it. Like, let go of it. Reset. Reset. Like, press the reset button and say, Lord, I'm resetting. Start afresh. Start anew right now. I want to be a new creation in Christ Jesus. If that's you this morning, and you want to reset. Some of you, you've been doing life alone without God, and you want to make God your Lord and Savior. That's you this morning. Then I'd love to pray with you.